Hi, kids. Hey, it is time for the children's message, so gather around and let's see what we have to talk about today. So for the next few weeks here at church, we're going to be talking about some of Jesus' parables or stories that he told. Jesus liked to tell stories, and they were called parables. And that's just kind of a bigger word for a story that has meaning for us here on earth, but it also has a heavenly meaning. And Jesus used things in his stories that people around him were familiar with. So the story we're going to talk about today talks about sheep and shepherds. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know any shepherds, and I certainly don't know a whole lot about sheep. So I'm going to tell you a story today that I hopefully will help you understand Jesus' story. Now, most of you know that I'm a mom. I have two kids. My kids are big now. In fact, one of them has a kid of his own, but they used to be little, just like you. And the story I'm going to tell today, I think maybe you'll be able to put yourself into this story. Let's see if you can. So one day when they were pretty little, I think my daughter was about six, so my son would have been about three. We were in a store, and my son was in his stroller with me, and my daughter was just walking beside me. And I stopped to look at something, and sure enough, I turned around, and my daughter was missing. She was lost, and I had no idea where she was. So I looked for her a little bit, and I couldn't find her. So then I went to find somebody to help me. And the person I found was someone who worked at the store, and they said, "I'll stay here with your son while you go look." And so that's what I did. I left my son, and I went to look for my daughter. And do you think my son was sitting there thinking, "Why is he going to look for her? What about me?" Do you think he was worried about that? No. He wanted me to find her just as much as I wanted to find her. And the good thing was it didn't take very long for me to find her. She was kind of hiding behind a rack of clothes. In fact, she was hiding from me, which that was a whole other story, and we'll talk about that some other time. But I was able to find her. And my son, even though I left him to go find her, he was fine too. And that's kind of like the story that Jesus tells that Pastor Jason's going to talk about a little bit more. Jesus tells a story about a shepherd who left 99 sheep to go look for one. Do you think if those sheep could talk, that those sheep were thinking, "Why is he going to look for that one? What about us?" No, they were probably thinking, "I'm glad he's going to go look for that one, because what if it was me that was lost?" And that's the way Jesus feels about us. He doesn't want any of us to be lost. And he wants those of us that are already in his flock of sheep, he wants us to be concerned about the one that's lost. And he wants us to be kind of cheering him on as he goes to look for the one who's lost. So just remember, just because Jesus is looking for that one lost sheep, it doesn't mean that he's left you behind. Jesus is always with us, and that's the great thing about Jesus, is that he can be with us, the 99, while he goes looks for the one that is lost. And it tells us in the Bible that when that shepherd found that sheep, he was joyful. He celebrated. And that's the way we should be too when Jesus finds that one lost. Because I know that when I found my daughter in that store, I definitely celebrated. I was definitely joyful. Even though I knew she was hiding and that she shouldn't have been doing that, I was still more happy to have found her. And that's the way we should feel about when Jesus goes and looks for that lost sheep. So just remember that. Jesus is always with us, and he always wants to find the one who's not with us. And we should be cheering him on when he does that. So let's pray today, and let's pray that we can help Jesus find those sheep that are lost, just like we were at one time. Dear Jesus, thank you for looking for us. Thank you for caring about us. Thank you for always wanting to find us, even when we try to hide from you. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Our scripture reading for today is Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable: "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it. When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. So we are kicking off a new series this week, looking at a few of the more famous parables that Jesus taught and told during his time here on earth. And for a long time, I kind of thought of Jesus' parables as sort of a simple sermon illustration, illustrations that he told to make the truth more acceptable or understandable to those around him. But what I've discovered and what I've come to realize is that there's a whole lot more going on with these parables. Jesus' parables are thrown alongside truth to then illustrate that truth with the intent to capture our hearts, to expose our sin and need for a Savior, and to reveal the kingdom of God. And they weren't these neatly packaged little stories that made things clear. In fact, they were quite the opposite. They were often stories that left listeners confused and searching for explanation. Jesus gives us some insight into his reason for using parables in Matthew chapter 13. He says, "This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." And what this comes down to is a heart issue. Those who have a hard heart also have closed eyes and closed ears and don't understand or refuse to understand. But to those who have ears to hear and who are willing, they will listen and they will seek understanding. And so Jesus spoke in these parables not to make the truth clearer, but to hide the truth from the religious leaders of the day and to reveal his purpose to those who are humble and truly seeking after him and the truth of the kingdom of God. I find helpful what N.T. Wright says about the parables of Jesus. He says, as part of his campaign, Jesus told stories. They were, for the most part, not simply illustrations, that is, preachers' tricks to decorate an abstract thought or complicated teaching. If anything, they were the opposite. Jesus' stories are designed to tease, to clothe the shocking and revolutionary message about God's kingdom in garb that would leave the listeners wondering, trying to think it out. They were stories that eventually caused Israel's leaders to decode his rich message in such a way as to frame a charge against him, either of blasphemy, sedition, or leading the people astray. Whatever the parables are, they are not just earthly stories with heavenly meaning. Rather, they are expressions of Jesus' shocking announcement that God's kingdom was arriving on earth as in heaven. We find here in Luke chapter 15 that Jesus tells three parables in response to the growing criticism from the Pharisees and religious leaders, because Jesus was hanging around and associating with the wrong crowd, that Luke identifies as tax collectors and sinners. And we see that it says that the religious leaders, they were grumbling. And grumbling is a muttering of discontent, which I think perfectly describes the attitude and actions of the religious leaders. They didn't approve at all of what Jesus was saying or what he was doing or who he was hanging around. And so they grumbled constantly about it. And all three of these parables in Luke chapter 15 have to do with something that was lost and then found. We see the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. I personally think of it as the lost and found department of the parables. But for today, I want to focus on the parable of the lost sheep. We have all felt it at some point in our life. the frustration, the worry, the anxiety, the sad feeling of losing something, something of value, something we cared deeply about, something that we treasured. On the other less frequent side of that, we may have also experienced that feeling of joy and bliss, happiness and relief that comes from when you find whatever it was that you thought you lost. In our house, since March, our family has had a card table that has been set up in our living room for the main purpose of jigsaw puzzles. Are any of you jigsaw puzzle fans? Personally, it's not really my thing, but I really enjoy watching the family as they put together the puzzle piece by piece, one piece at a time, and seeing the anticipation and excitement as they get closer and closer to being complete, to having the puzzle look like the picture on the box. Now, one of the things that I like to do is I like to take one of the pieces of the puzzle and hide it and watch as they're just about to complete the puzzle and realize, oh no, a piece is missing. I mean, really, you should see the looks on their face. Actually, I'm just kidding. That would be pretty cruel, and I don't do that. But perhaps that has happened to you, or you can at least imagine how frustrating and discouraging it would be to get to the end of the puzzle and realize one piece is missing. Most of us would go to great lengths to find that missing piece. We would search the floor, the seat cushions, the box, the closet, the litter box, the couch. Because without that one piece, it's an incomplete picture. And it doesn't matter that 99% of the picture is there and complete and together, because all you can focus on is that one piece that's missing. And without it, something is missing. Something is not there. The picture is not complete. And in some ways, this reminds me of what Jesus is getting at in this parable of the lost sheep. The good shepherd, he must go after the one lost sheep, even though his flock is 99% complete. He doesn't think twice about it. He doesn't hesitate. It's not an option to let the one sheep go. And the good shepherd, he will search high and low. He will search all around, and he will search until that one sheep is found and brought back. Because without that one, something is missing. Without the one, the picture is incomplete. Without the one, the flock is not whole. As N.T. Wright pointed out, the parables are expressions of Jesus' shocking announcement that God's kingdom was arriving on earth as in heaven. And so what does this parable of the lost sheep tell us about the kingdom of God? Well, in summary, the kingdom of God is like a good shepherd who has a flock of 100 sheep, who, losing just one of them, will leave the others and relentlessly search and go after the one that is lost. He will go after the one that is lost until he finds it and then brings it back, rejoicing and celebrating over what was lost but now is found. I mean, fairly straightforward and clear. And yet if we dig a little deeper, we discover a few more layers to this parable. And that's what I want to look at today. Specifically, what does the parable say about God and who God is? What does it say about us? And what does it say about our relationship to one another? Well, we see early on in Luke's gospel, we discover Jesus' main reason or main mission and purpose, and that is to seek and save that which was lost, to save us from our sins. Luke 5, verse 30 through 32 paints this picture. It says, "The Pharisees and the scribes were complaining to his disciples, saying, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?' Jesus answered, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance.' Now you see the Pharisees or the religious leaders, they would immediately place themselves on the side of the righteous and the holy. And they would draw a distinct line between them and those people. You know, I imagine that we all have our own version, our own idea of those people. And for the religious leaders, it was the sinners. It was the outcasts, the unclean, the unworthy, the unwanted. But the irony that is kind of lost on the religious leaders is that they too were lost. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 3, he says, "What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all. For we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And then take it back even further to the prophet Isaiah, who is pretty clear in saying, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned to our own way." But here in the parable of the lost sheep, what Jesus does in this parable is he gets right to the heart of who God is. He gets right to the heart of who God is and the magnitude and the depth of God's love and grace and mercy. He is the great seeking shepherd. God is the one that seeks and searches for us, the one who pursues us relentlessly, the one who goes after us with reckless love. God is not like the religious leaders. He doesn't grumble about sinners. He doesn't despise sinners, but he goes after the lost and he rejoices along with all of heaven for all those who were lost but are now found. In this parable, in this passage, we see this contrast of the great grumbling of the religious leaders compared to the radical rejoicing of God for all of those who all who were lost and who all who come to salvation in Jesus Christ. We see here, Jesus paints this picture of our loving Heavenly Father, the good seeking shepherd. And he paints this picture by asking a question. He says, "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it?" Now, first off, what Jesus does here is he brings the religious leaders down a notch by asking them to put themselves in the shoes, or I guess in that case, the sandals of a shepherd. And in that time, shepherds were unclean or thought of to be untrustworthy, and essentially they were the outcasts of society. It would be a tough pill to swallow for any of them to even hypothetically imagine themselves as a shepherd. And then to leave 99 sheep alone in the wilderness to go after one wandering lost sheep. I mean, if you think about it, sheep in and of themselves, they're not all that bright, right? They easily get distracted. They usually smell funny. They wander off. They get lost. And they can't defend themselves at all. Now, I admit, I don't know much about shepherding and what an actual shepherd would do in this instance, but personally, it seems like an unwise decision. I would think that even in the shepherding job field, a 99% success rate, I mean, that's pretty good, right? But it's not good enough for God. The good shepherd is more caring, more loving than any of us could ever be. With God, 99% is not good enough. With God, nothing is lost. God's love for us is a reckless, scandalous, deep, deep love in which God searches and seeks until he finds. Jesus reminds us of this in just one phrase he says about the good shepherd. In this parable, he says, until he finds it. Until he finds it. And this emphasizes the determination and perseverance and persistence of God for sinners to come to faith and saving grace in Jesus Christ. And notice that Jesus doesn't say the shepherd searched until he got tired, or until it got dark out, or until he got hungry, or until he quit and decided to go home. No, Jesus is clear that the good shepherd will continue seeking and searching for the missing, for the lost sheep until he finds it. Failure is not an option. This is the God who loves us. This is the God who pursues us. This is the God who seeks after us. With God, there is nothing that is lost. And so what about us? What does this parable say about us? I mean, have you ever been there? Have you ever felt like a lost sheep? Now, most times it can be just easy for us to not see ourselves as lost or the lost sheep. We can think, you know, well, I'm not that bad, or I make pretty good choices. For the most part, I love or I try to love others. But what I believe Jesus is getting at here, what I believe Jesus points out and reminds us of here, is that at one point, at one time in our life, we have all been the lost sheep. And the truth of the gospel is that without Jesus and without his salvation, we are lost. Without turning away from our sin and turning to God and living in a way that shows others that we belong to him, we are lost. But thank God, God in his love, God in his grace, sent his son Jesus to die for our sins, so that what was lost can then be found. So that all who turn from our own ways and turn toward Jesus, that turn toward God and believe in him, will be saved. For us, it can be easy for our sin and our pride to easily blind us and keep us from even realizing that outside of Jesus and outside of God's ways and God's purposes, we are lost. One of the scariest feelings can be not realizing you are lost until you're actually lost. And so I think it's important for us to pause and to reflect, to ask and to talk with God. Ask him, where in our life might we be lost? Where have we wandered from him? Where have we wandered from his truth and his ways? And as God reveals whatever that is, then we can bring that to him. And we can know that God is there waiting for us as he has pursued us, even as we wander from him. And so we turn to him and we feel his loving embrace. And we see the good shepherd, the one who seeks us, who finds us and carries us and brings us back. So in one sense, we are all lost sheep in some way or another, whether it's in regard to believing in Jesus as our Savior or our deep need for healing and restoration. But either way, Jesus assures us that he loves us, that he is always with us, that he is the one who cares and he knows our need. He knows that we need him. Because without him, we truly are lost. In this parable, we see Jesus does what Jesus does so well, and he throws a twist in the story. He brings a bigger and deeper truth here at the end. He says, just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." This right here, in some ways, gets to the core of our relationship with one another. I mean, what if, right? What if you feel like one of the 99 sheep that the shepherd left behind? It wouldn't feel so great, right? What if you're the one sheep or one of the sheep that didn't wander off? What if you have consistently stayed close to the shepherd? And for the shepherd to leave you behind, to go after the one who has wandered away and who has found trouble, I mean, in that instance, it would be easy to think, but don't I matter? I mean, don't we as the 99 matter? And I believe that Jesus would reply, "Well, yes, of course you matter. I love you, and you all matter. But right now, you aren't the one who is lost. You aren't the one that is in trouble. You aren't the one that needs me to go after them." Because we see over and over throughout the Bible that God, and through Jesus is concerned about the ones who are lost. The ones who have been excluded. The ones who are in trouble. The ones who need the loving Savior to go after them and to bring them back. Jesus is concerned about finding the missing one. 99% is not good enough. The picture is incomplete. The flock, the family is not whole. And we see that when one who was lost and then is found and then brought back, then we, as followers of Jesus, we are called to rejoice. We are called to rejoice and celebrate along with all of heaven and all of the angels. We are called to embrace and to receive one another, not as a project to be worked on, but as a person to be loved, as one of us redeemed by God's grace alone. One who was lost, but now is found. God does the job of searching and saving. But as followers of Jesus, God calls us to the job of searching and welcoming. And we see here, the fact that the good shepherd goes out and seeks and searches until he finds the lost sheep, I mean, this actually is good news. This is good news for all the sheep. I mean, think about it. If the shepherd is willing to just settle for the 99 and shrug off the one, then no sheep can feel secure. Because then when I wander off, and when I get lost, not if, but when, I will know that I am not just an acceptable percentage of loss. That I am not, I won't wonder if I am worthy enough to be searched for. Because Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the one who leaves the 99 for the lost one. And this is good news for all of us because he knows us and he loves us. And every single one of us matters to him. And when one is missing, the picture is not complete. And so we welcome and rejoice with the Savior when what is lost is now found. We see God as the one who loves us and pursues us so much. He is the one who searches, who finds, saves, and restores lost people. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for this reminder of who you are and who we are. God, we are reminded of your love, your reckless love, your love that doesn't make sense. But God, we are thankful that you are willing, that you pursue us. That even if we are just the one who has wandered away, God, that you will come after us. And you will search and seek after us until you find us. And when you do, you just bring us back. You restore us and you rejoice. God, remind us of that. God, you know each and every one of us. You know where we are at. Some of us may feel lost. Some of us may not even know that we are lost. But God, either way, we know that you are reaching out to us, that you are pursuing us, that you are drawing us to yourself. And so God, help us to turn from our ways. Help us to turn to you, to receive your grace, to receive your love, to know that our salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. We love you, Jesus. Amen.